الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد. The subject of jinn and sihr are very related, even though some people do not know this. They are two very related subjects. And one of them has influence on the other, and vice versa, as we will see. People have a lot of misconception about this subject. It is a subject of ghaib, which has some amazing influence on the lives of some people, and so it has a special awe for them. The subject of jinn and sihr. And inshallah, in this discussion, I'll try to cover some aspects of this subject and try to cover it from the perspective, of course, that we use all the time, which is Al-Quran wa Sunnah and the guidance of the righteous early Muslims. That would be the proper perspective to understand any matter. Salaam wa rahmatullah. And this is no exception. So even though there is a lot of fables and folk talk concerning this subject, there is a limited amount of true knowledge that concerns it, and inshallah we'll discuss this. Allah Azza wa Jalla referred to magic or sihr in his book and established that it is true that there is what is called magic or sihr, as Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ, which means some of those wicked people of the Jews and others, اتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ. That is, they followed what the devils were reading over the kingdom or the dominion of Sulaiman alayhi salam, where he used to be in power. So some people followed what the shayateen were reading from the kingdom of Sulaiman. They claim that Sulaiman was a magician. Some of the Jews and their followers claimed that Sulaiman or Solomon was a magician, and that's why he had these great powers, that he was able to control the jinn. He was able to do some magical things. So they say, اتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ. And Allah Azza wa Jal responds to this by saying, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ. But Sulaiman was not a disbeliever, which means the one who does magic is a disbeliever. But Sulaiman was not such a person. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. But the devils are the ones who were disbelievers. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السَّحْرِ, because they teach people this magic, or as it's called in our days, black magic. That's the sihr which is referred to here. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ, that they teach people magic. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ, and it was not something which was revealed وَمَغْزِ عَلْمَا كَيْتِمِ بِبَابِلِ, which means it is not something which was revealed to the angels in Babel or Babylon, because some of the fables which come via the way of the people of the book is that there were two angels that this is a fable, it doesn't have any support in Sunnah. They say, and you find unfortunately in some of the books of Tafsir which are influenced by the Israelite stories, they say this, that there were two angels called Harut and Marut, and these angels said, as were saying, why are these human beings so disobedient to Allah, and they should have known better that these are human beings who have emotions, who have the free choice, whereas the angels do not have this tendency to commit sins. So Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to test them and show them that they shouldn't have this, ask this question. So he said, he told them that he was going to make them give them the, some of the human emotions and tendencies, and send them down on earth and see whether they will be obedient or not. And indeed, they were sent down on earth, and they as human beings, and they behaved as the worst of a human being. They committed many mistakes, and Allah Azza wa Jal eventually hung them on earth somewhere in Babylon, in a ruined place, upside down, and people used to come, the magicians used to come to them, and the devils, and learn the magic from them, because they are angels who have a knowledge of the ghaib, of the world beyond our senses. So they could learn from them lots of things that they couldn't otherwise know. So that is what people claim, and they misinterpret these ayat in this meaning. If you read some of the interpretation of these ayat in some books of tafsir, but the true interpretation is that so they say that magic was revealed to Sulaiman. So they interpret this ayah completely falsely. The ayah means وَمَا أُنزِلَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ. Sulaiman was not a disbeliever, he was not a magician. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السَّحْرَ. They were disbelievers, they teach people magic. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلِ. And it was not something that was revealed or taught to the two angels in Babylon. And then Harut and Marut, these are two other people. People say that these are the two angels, and these are not. These are two people that were indeed magicians who were teaching people magic. So there is what is called in the Arabic language taqdim and ta'khir in these ayat, which means, or there is some words which are inserted between the other words. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying what means, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ. They followed what the devils were saying about the kingdom of Sulaiman, and Sulaiman was not a disbeliever, but the devils were disbelievers. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السَّحْرَ. They taught people magic. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ. And it was not taught to people in Babel. And then Harut and Marut, they are those who used to teach people magic. So يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السَّحْرَ, and then Harut and Marut, they are those who used to teach the magic. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السَّحْرَ, and then what comes next? وَمَا زَمَنِ بَابِلَ هَوْنَا. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. وَمَا يَعْلَمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. So these people who are not angels, who were called Harut and Marut, and probably, possibly they were in Babylon, they lived there, but they were people who did magic, and they would teach magic to others, and they would still warn people, telling them, look, we are fitna, we are a test for you, we are doing something wrong, and you are not supposed to do it. They warn people, and then if people insist, they would teach them the magic. يَعْلِمُونَ النَّاسَ, which is a disbelief, as we will talk a little more later. So يَعْلِمُونَ النَّاسَ السَّحْرَ. وَمَا يَعْلِمُونَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. So do not be a disbeliever, we are a test, so do not be a disbeliever. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. So people would learn from these two people two magicians, Harun and Marun, things that would enable them to separate between the man and his wife. Sahr, magic. وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ يُفَرِقُونَ بِهِ مَنْ يُوَسَجِ وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. But they would not be able to hurt anybody with this magic except with the permission of Allah. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. And they learn things which hurt them, which are harmful to them and will never benefit them.
وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنْ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ.
And they know, people who learn the magic, they know that indeed whoever seeks such a knowledge, whoever purchases such a knowledge, he doesn't have in the hereafter any hope. مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And it's indeed the worst thing that they sold away themselves with, their selves with, if they only knew it. So this is a very important ayah in explaining some of the aspects of sihr, of magic, including the fact that magic can hurt some people with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, of course. And that magic is never useful for its practicer. It is always harmful for him. It never benefits him. It is a branch of kufr, of disbelief. And that a person will not do sihr unless he is a disbeliever. As you see from this ayat, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرُ. In the Arabic language, the word sihr is sometimes applied to the practice of tricks, which you see in our times, like when there is a circus or something, people come and do some magic tricks. And this is not the black magic that is applied, that is referred to in this ayah. That is not, you know, a disbelief. That is tricks which could be harmful. You know, in some cases it could be, you know, done for fun. It could be a lie and deceitful to people sometimes, so it could be harmful. But in general, it is not the same as the black magic, and that is what the magician in the time of Musa alayhi salam used to do, as Allah Azza wa Jalla said. يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. With their tricks, you know, and magic, it was made to appear for Musa as if it was the snakes were running. So they were not actually moving, but that's what he, or running, actual living snakes, but he felt as if he thought that they were true snakes that had life in them. So that's a different kind of magic. When we talk about the magic now in this discussion, it is about the black magic. The magic which is done with the help of devils, with the help of the jinn, with the help of these creatures who are beyond our perception, to do things which are beyond the normal abilities of people by that. The jinn are a creation whom Allah Azza wa Jal created other than human beings. And they have choice like human beings. And Satan or Shaitan is the first of such creation. But that doesn't mean that all of them were deviant like Shaitan. Some of them are good and some of them are bad, as Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ. Some of us are Muslims and some of us are those who turn away from Islam. وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Some of us are good and some of us are less than that, which means are bad and of varying degrees of badness. So the jinn is a creation that Allah created. He created them contrary to human beings. He created the human beings from what? Light? He created human beings from clay. Human beings. And he created the jinn from fire or smoke, or the smoke of fire, as Satan said to Allah Azza wa Jal when he ordered him to bow down before Adam. He said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارِ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينَ. How would I bow down before him when you have created me in a better way? You created me from fire, you created him from clay. So I would not bow down before him.
So there are creation that's created from this smoke or fire, as some ayat say, and the angels, of course, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells that they were created from light. But the our concern here are the jinn. This is a creation created from fire originally, and it has choice. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will judge them just like human beings. Those who do good will be rewarded. Those who will do bad will be punished in the hereafter. The jinn is a creation that we do not see them, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. He, that is Satan, he and his group, his party, his family, his relatives, etc., the jinn that is, he sees you from where you cannot see him. Which means we cannot see the jinn. Our senses and abilities are such that we cannot perceive the jinn. Can you make sure that the tape is on the reverse, self-reverse, so that when the first side ends, it will start on the second side. This is not something unusual, even from a scientific point of view. You probably know that, for example, the human beings have a certain range of seeing, of ability to see, in terms of the light that they can see, the wavelength of the light that they can see, and that there are some animals who can see differently. For example, we cannot see in the darkness. We cannot see the infrared radiation. But there are animals which can see some of this, and there are animals which can see other, ranges of or creatures, some other ranges. So that shows that our abilities are limited in terms of sight. The same in terms of hearing. We know that we have a very limited range of hearing, and also the range varies from person to person. Children have more ability to hear than adults, and so on. And the range becomes narrower and narrower as the person grows older. And we know that there are animals, creatures, which have a much more power of hearing than the human beings. We know, for example, that the bat actually is guided by means of waves that are ultrasonic to us, that is above our hearing abilities. So there are waves that it emits, and then they reflect back, and from that it can know its position in space, just as we know our position by our eyes, by the waves of light. It knows its position by the waves of sound. So the bat is another creature. This is a creature which has ability that we do not have in terms of hearing, and so on. So there are animals which have abilities in hearing and seeing and other senses that we do not have. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, that once there were people, he was with some people in the near graves, or it was I think after a funeral or something like that, near a graveyard, and there was his animal, Jafil, which means it became rebellious a little bit, or hard to control, and he told them that it has just heard a screaming of people who are being punished in the graves. And so there is something. And he says that for these people who are punished in the grave, when the two angels come to them, Munkar wa Nakir, and ask them the questions in the grave, for the disbeliever, the Prophet ﷺ says that after they ask him the questions, and he does not know what to answer, they hit him with a hammer so hard that he turns into dust, and then he is created again. Now, he says when they hit him, they hit him with this very huge hammer, and he says he screams so loud that everything hears him except human beings and jinn. every other creature can hear such screaming of him. So the animals can hear things that we cannot hear, of course. And scientifically, I'm saying this is possible, of course. So the jinn are a creation of Allah that we do not know anything about it except what Allah told us. It is something from ghaib, but we know that they see us, and we cannot see them. So we are not provided, equipped with the ability to see them. Now these jinn, this creation, as we said earlier, some of them are good, some of them are bad. Some of them hurt the human beings in certain ways. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَنَّهُمْ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. There were some rijal, which means men among human beings, who used to seek protection from men of the jinn. That is, males, you can think of the jinn, group of the jinn. Some group of human beings used to seek protection from the jinn. I think this is getting weak now, the battery. فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. But what happened is that they made them more tired. They made them more burdened, more exhausted. And this is because what the Arabs used to do in the time of Jahiliyyah, they used, when they were on travel and they had to sleep at night, they knew that the jinn lived out in the open, and they used to, instead of saying أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من شر ما خلق, as the Prophet ﷺ taught that we say when we descend in a place in our travel in the open, instead of saying this, which means I seek refuge in Allah's complete words from the evil of anything that He created, instead of saying this, they used to say we seek protection in the master of this valley. And by that they mean the master among the jinn, the master of the jinn of that valley. So when they do that, these jinn, instead of helping them, they would play tricks on them, they would hurt them, they would take away some of their stuff, and they would cause them to be scared and afraid and so on. So as Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. They used to seek protection in them, they gave them more exhaustion. They exhausted them further. So they do not help them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about the jinn that they climb one on top of the other until they reach the lowest heaven. So when Allah Azza wa Jal gives a command to the angels, to Jibreel, then Jibreel orders, who is the closest angel to Allah Azza wa Jal, he will relate the command to the other angels in the heavens. He will say, our Lord tells you so and so, or He has commanded so and so, or He has spoken so and so. And then the angels will relate the command one to the other until the command reaches the lowest heaven. And then the jinn who climb one on top of the other, they make a very high column so that the highest of them will reach the lowest heaven. It can catch some of that command, so it will know some of what Allah commanded. Therefore, something which is of some knowledge that is not known to other people yet, at least. So that is a knowledge of benefit for them. It is like ghaib for most people. So they would convey this message sometimes incomplete, because they didn't hear it complete, conveyed to the one who is underneath them. Each one of these jinn will convey the message to the jinn which is underneath him and so on, until it reaches the ground. And Allah Azza wa Jal will send a comet, and it will burn most of these jinn, as He says in the Quran. فَأَتْبَعُوا شِهَابٌ ثَاقِبٌ. This is one of them, yeah. إلا من استرق السمع فأتبعه شهاب ثاقب, which means except for those who try to listen, eavesdrop, and then a piercing comet will come and follow him. So they will be burnt, but in that time, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, some of the knowledge that they stole from the heavens is transmitted down to earth. Incomplete, but it is still some knowledge that they transmitted to earth, and then they will take this knowledge and will teach it to their friends of the human beings. Who are their friends among the human beings? They are the magicians. So they teach some of this knowledge to the magicians, and the magicians, because the knowledge is incomplete, they will take it and mix it with some other things from their own to make it complete. So they mix truth with falsehood, and they will use it on people to show them that they know some of the knowledge of the unseen, of the ghaib knowledge to most people. And that will make people, of course, believe in them and in their knowledge and in their powers. So that is the basis of magic. Magic is basically a person deals with the jinn, especially with the kuffar jinn, the disbelieving jinn. They deal with them and they take some of the knowledge from them and they use that, giving them certain oaths that they would disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal, that they would disobey Him, and they would use in some cases His words, His ayat in a very bad way, and because of this, which is selling themselves instead. In fact, I mean that as some people call it, as selling themselves to Satan, they are willing to sell completely their souls to Satan, which means they are willing to give away their belief in Allah, in His words, which they know they are truth. They use them in a very bad way. They try to defame the words of Allah in order to be given certain powers, given promises by the devils, by Satan and the jinn, to help them. And they help them in certain things. They give them some knowledge, but also, of course, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا, they will also increase them, immerse them more and more in degradation, because the magician will be a disbeliever. He will be living the worst life and the most crooked life, and of course, in the hereafter, they would expect a great punishment. So this probably is, I may remember some other things to say about this subject, but this is probably a sufficient background to tell how magic arises to start with. Now, of course, there are different things which people... So the basis of magic is people who have sold away their souls. They sold away their belief in order to gain some immediate... gain, they think, profit, which is in fact no profit, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, it is only a harm for themselves, in order to gain powers that other people do not have, but these powers are of no benefit for them. And this is normally done with the help of the jinn, they do their magic in different ways, which is, you know, magic in itself is a knowledge that we are prohibited to learn. And the Prophet ﷺ prohibited learning the magic, and there are some reports in which he has ordered even to kill magicians. And Umar radiallahu anhu has killed a magician, and it is reported about him, and I think it's authentic, that Umar said that a magician has no repentance, that is, the only way to deal with him is to just cut him with a chop off his head. حد الساحر ضربة سيف. This, inshallah, and some other reports about what has been related authentically about magicians, inshallah, we can discuss at another meeting. Because as I said, this subject would probably require two meetings to cover.
But now I'll cover some aspects of it, some other aspects of it. It is a knowledge of ghaib, as I said, that we have no knowledge about it except what has been authentically told to us in the Sunnah, or what we have heard from other from ulama that they accept as being means of magic. That is, things that some magicians do to hurt other people, and they have known about it, and they have done in some cases something to help people out of it. Some of the things that we see now, I mean, some of the tricks of black magic have come into the open, even in the disbelieving societies, because you know the disbelief is common to all societies. Even though belief is only particular to Muslims, to the followers of the prophets, but disbelief is, and its means, its ways, is common to all people, to all other people. And magic is not something, you know, which is special to especially for Islamic people of Islamic, you know, ties or background. But it is something which has been practiced by human beings, as you heard in the Quran, from the time of Sulaiman or before that. So some of the things that we have seen now in movies, they bring it in movies or and novel stories and so on, is about making, you know, dolls in the shape of the person they want to hurt, and then they stick them with something where they want to hurt the person, and that will affect that person in such in a certain way. Or they tie some ropes or some threads, and some knots, yeah. And as they tie the knots, they say, they read certain things concerning that person that they want to hurt, and that would affect this person. Some of this has been recorded in Islam, and as I said, a proof in the Quran or Sunnah, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq min sharri ma khalaq wa min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab." Say, "I seek refuge in the Lord of Al-Falaq." Al-Falaq is the time where the day separates from night, that is early morning. "Min sharri ma khalaq," from the evil of all what He has created. "Wa min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab," and of the evil of the evil one when it enters. Or, you know, this particular ayah has different interpretations by the ulama. It can apply to many things. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدْ, and from the evil of those who blow into the knots, who, you know, they read and blow into the knots as they make their knots. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ, and from the evil of an envious person when he, you know, envies someone. Now, so this proves that there are people, evil people, who use the knots to do magic with them. It has been reported that the Prophet ﷺ himself was enchanted in the sense that magic was applied to him. Some magicians tried to hurt him with magic, and as is reported by one of his wives, radiallahu anhun, Aisha, I think, that he used to think that he has approached his women when he did not approach them. So the magic was really strong against him, and then Allah Azza wa Jal sent down Jibreel to teach him al-mu'awwidhat. قل أعوذ برب الفلق, قل هو الله أحد, قل أعوذ برب الفلق, قل أعوذ برب الناس. These three surah to read them, and that removed the magic from him. And it is also reported, and now I'm not sure whether it is the same incident, probably it is the same, and this is authentic too, that Allah Azza wa Jalla even revealed to him where they have put that magic which they have made against him. It was in the bottom of a certain well. It is the same one. So he went there, they went there, Ali went there, and they found the magic and they destroyed it. So this shows that the best and, of course, the most powerful way to a cure for magic is if you can find the material thing that the magician has made to start his magic or her magic and destroy it. But there is the important cure that Allah Azza wa Jalla taught to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which to read al-Mu'awwidhat. قل هو الله أحد قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس. Okay. Now, in our time, we are making now a big jump, but I'll go back again if I find that I have skipped things, important things. In our time, you find that people complain that they have magic, that or sometimes people complain that they have jinn in them, and this is that is some of the jinn has entered their bodies and they are causing them to act in a certain way different from the normal way, sometimes always and sometimes on occasions. Sometimes they will always, you know, they will be absent-minded, or they will be unconscious even, or they will do different things all the time, or sometimes the effect will be minor so that they will cause them to do some of these things sometimes. Now this has been from the accumulated knowledge and experience of the well-known and authentic, good, acceptable scholars through the time. This is something which is true, that this could happen, that the jinn will influence people in such a way, they will enter their bodies and they will cause them to do certain things, or they will influence them in some way, in different ways, in different at different strength. So this is this follows from the ayah which we heard, أَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. This doesn't imply that the jinn would enter into their bodies. Now there is another ayah which people use as a proof that the jinn do enter the bodies of people, and this is the ayah which says, كَالَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ, like the one whom the devil is shaking him, يَتَخَبَّطُهُ, or shaking within him, or causing him to shake, مِنَ الْمَسِ, from madness or insanity. So he causes him to look insane. The shaitan or the devil causes him to look insane. So this ayah means that the shaitan can come into the person and be part of him, part of his actions, so that he would behave in an insane way. And this would be sometimes, as I said, or it could be all the time that he would behave like this. Now this is a problem that occurs frequently. Now the problems that we hear about in our time and in the previous time are cases, situations where a person, people tell you, I have a child whom the shaitan has entered. We think, we believe that the shaitan has entered into him or her, and we need some way to cure. We need some sheikh or somebody to come and read and drive out this shaitan. This is one case. The other case is that they would say that we have a problem in our family. For example, whenever my daughter gets engaged to somebody, something happens and they cannot continue with their engagement. Something, they have to break up, or I keep fighting with my wife, or such and such, or we are never successful. Whenever we start a business, it dies off or something, and they say, we are sure that something has been written for us, that some magic has been made against us. And some of them even go further by going to certain people that are known to be people who deal with magic, but they are not magicians themselves. People whom the Arabic word for them is Arraf. What's there an English word for such a person? Arraf, godfather? Maybe godfather or something. Huh?
Psychic, yeah.
Maybe psychics, something like that.
Like a fortune teller or something.
Yeah, but they don't only tell fortune. They tell them about if there is a magic written against them, and they tell them they can even sometimes tell them where this magic is, or how long, when it was written, where it is put,
or if it is very hard to reach it, they will say it is very hard.
Now, it's a witch doctor or something.
Something like this, like a witch doctor, exactly. But isn't Godfather the same meaning or something?
No, Godfather
okay.
is
okay. 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 Whatever. So there are these witch doctors who will tell them, try to cure them if they can. Now, how would these people get their knowledge? How do these people get their knowledge? Allah Azza wa Jalla did not give the knowledge of ghaib except to whomever He chose from His messengers and with certain specific amounts. He doesn't give the full knowledge of ghaib, as He says in the end of Surah Al-Jinn. What is إِلَّا مَنْ اَرْتَضَ مَنْ رَسُولٍ فَإِنَّا يَسْلُكُمْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهُ مِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا. So He doesn't give the knowledge of the ghaib, of the things beyond our perception, except to whomever He accepts of the messengers. And then He puts protection over him so that his knowledge will not be misused. So then how would these people know the ghaib? It is something which is unknown to the rest of people. How would they know it? There's only one way, of course. Through the help of the jinn again. So these people say that we deal with the good jinn, and the other magicians deal with the bad jinn. So it is like good magicians and bad magicians. But all magicians are bad, as we heard. And any person who deals with the jinn, he is bad, and he is practicing something which is harmful for him, and the jinn will cause him to be more degraded and more exhausted, as the ayah tells very clearly. So a person should never go to such people. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من أتى عرافا فصدقه فقد كفر بما نزل على محمد. Whoever comes to عراف, to one of these people who tell them about the future or about the ghaib or things like that, or give them the knowledge, عراف, they make them know about unknown knowledge, and they believe in what they tell them, then they have disbelieved in what has been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this also applies to a person who reads what they call them, the astrology.
Yeah.
The astrology column in some newspaper. If anybody reads this and believes in any word in it, then he has disbelieved in what has been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because these people are either, you know, liars, complete liars, or at best they would be arrafin, they would be people who use some certain connection with the jinn to get some additional knowledge, which is a mixture of truth and falsehood, as we said, and which is of no benefit to anyone, including themselves. So anybody who believes in this has disbelieved in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes.
No, that's astronomy.
Astronomy is different.
Astronomy is a science studying the planets. Astrology is a quote-unquote science.
Astrology is a science that studies the relationship between the planets, substance, and humans.
Yeah, which is a baseless knowledge. Which is a baseless knowledge.
That one is, like you said, it's a baseless knowledge. There's no scientific proof in the sense of the relationship between planets and stars and people's lives.
Okay. In the past they used to be able to hear? Yeah. وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا. That is when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, they couldn't do this anymore, which means their abilities for magic, they used to be much more powerful in the past. They used to learn more things and use them to inflict harm on people. No. No.
Yeah, those are meteors.
Meteors.
Because comet is different.
Okay.
My question, you said anybody who deals with the jinn,
No, not anybody who deals with the jinn is kafir, but anybody who deals them, who does magic, is a kafir.
Because some people deal with the jinn. What happens, you know, that's the other thing I want to talk about, is that some people, to treat themselves or their children, especially in the case of when they believe that there is jinn in them, so instead of going to such a person like a sahir or a arraf, what they do is they go to a sheikh to read for them. And these sheikhs, most usually, they are people who mix the sunnah with the bid'ah. They mix true, authentic Islam with something which doesn't have a basis. And by that, they say that they can get to the level, especially those who say that they have done it so many times, that they have gained so much experience. They say sometimes that within a few minutes they can extract the jinn, they can threaten them, they can beat the person and get out the jinn out of them. These are people who are dealing with the jinn, but they are not doing magic, they are doing something which doesn't have a basis in Sharia. They are dealing with the jinn in the way that the Prophet ﷺ has, Allah Azza wa Jalla has prohibited, وَأَنَّهُ كَانُ رِجَامُ إِنْسِ عَظُمَ بِرِجَامُ مِنْ جِنِّ فَزَدَوْمْ رَهَقَ. They are seeking help from the jinn. They are asking them questions and they are believing them. How can you believe something or someone that... Is it a 90 minute or a 60 minute tape?
It's
90 minutes.
It's still going.
It's
going
on the other time now.
Okay.
So what is to be done with 15?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to. I mean, this is the most important part of the talk, of course. All of this has been a background to familiarize ourselves with this subject, because it is a very controversial subject, and people have, as I said, have mixed truth with myth in this area. So we needed to have some basis in this.
You know about the hospital in outside of Medina for removing jinn?
I don't know, but what I know is that all people that I heard who treat the jinn, I heard several tapes by them. None of them had been sticking completely to the sunnah. Each one of them had some, you know, doubtful things in their practices.
Does that include Ali ibn Mushrif?
Yeah, including Ali ibn Mushrif. Including him, yeah, definitely. Even though, you know, he's one of the sheikhs, I think, among the first sheikhs who came to the conventions of the Quran and Sunnah. Several years, many years ago. He came here?
No, I've seen it here. This was when a brother, he said he had, he was touched by a jinn, and he put him in a bathroom.
And they beat him up,
they
yeah.
They beat the heck out of him, and then eventually he went to the hospital. 3 weeks later, he was there?
No.
No.
No. No, no, no. No, Abd Rahman. Yeah, this is as I said, the core of the most important part of the talk, and I'm getting to this, inshallah. What's your question? Yeah, this is related. The second ayah is saying that it could be related. The second ayah is talking about that for every prophet he had enemies from the jinn and the human beings, and they inspire each other with different decorated words to oppose the call of the messengers. So that includes the magicians, but it may not be limited to them. There could be other ways that the jinn and the ins together help to the disbelieving human beings and jinn help each other to oppose the call of the messengers. The first ayah, what was it? يا معشر الجن قد استكثرتم من الإنس وقال أولياؤهم من الإنس ربنا استمتع بعضنا ببعض حتى بلغنا وبلغنا أجلنا الذي أجلت لنا. So there Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, addressing the jinn, he's saying, O jinn, you have dealt too much with the human beings. You have mixed too much with the human beings. Which means this mixing, which is not supposed to be. So they are dealing too much in the affairs of the human beings. So they are supposed to mind their own affairs, Allahu A'lam. And part of it, of course, is this dealing with the magicians and the arrafin and trying to get some knowledge. Allahu A'lam, it doesn't seem to be to me, but we can go to the books of tafsir and see. Allahu A'lam. Okay, now what is a person supposed to do to protect himself first from the jinn and from magic, and second, to help? I mean, so there are two things. There is the protection and there is the cure. If a person feels that there is a cure, there is magic or there is jinn for a person, what is the cure in this case? So there are two parts of this question. And this is what we care about, of course, the most in our discussion now. Maybe we should stop here and continue next time. How about that?
But the thing is, someone who's making his salah and everything, inshallah, is sincerely striving.
Okay. Okay, let me say briefly, and inshallah we go into depth of in this next time. We cannot judge for sure that a person is under the influence of jinn or under the influence of magic. We have not been given this power. Except with the revelation, we cannot know it. And even if a person goes to a magician and he asks him, this would not give him a confirmed knowledge. The magician may be wrong, may be lying. And Allah Azza wa Jal and the Prophet ﷺ prohibited us from going to such people. So we are not going to go, we are not supposed to go to them in the first place. If we go to them and they give us some information, that information is doubtful. So there is no connection between us and the ghaib to tell us about these matters. So when a person is supposed to be mamsus, which means jinn are hurting him, we cannot know it for sure. When a person is under the effect of magic, we cannot know about this for sure. So that's what I want to emphasize first. Except, you know, for the person himself, he may be able to know sometimes. Sometimes people themselves, they can tell things about themselves which they feel that definitely these are the influence of magic or jinn. But even in that case, sometimes they may go to a psychiatric and they will tell them, no, that was your imagination, or that was, they can explain it for them in some medical way. So what I mean to say is that this area is not a definite area. So if you go to a person and you think that he is under the influence of magic or jinn, this thought is not definite. It could be more probable in some cases than others. And we have seen some cases where it was most likely that the person was under the influence of jinn. But we cannot say 100% for sure that this is what the case. It could be some other physical problem that we don't know about, and no medical doctor knows about, but Allah knows about. Sometimes these people, they go through extensive tests. And these tests do not determine what is their problem, and therefore they conclude that it has to be jinn. We do not know. So, since this is the case, that the person has a problem, has a sickness, an illness. And this illness could be a bodily illness, or it could be an illness because of magic or jinn, right? But it is an illness, some kind of illness or sickness. Now, what is the cure for sickness? There is a lot of cure in Islam to treat any sickness. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ دَارٍ إِلَّا أَنزَلَ لَهُ شِفَاءً إِلَّا السَّمْ. Allah has not sent down an illness, but has also sent down its cure, except for death, which doesn't have a cure, of course. Once death comes to people, then that's it.
So that means, and in some reports there is illa al-haram, I think, which means except old age, which is which amounts to the same. So every other thing has a cure. And alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahila. He says some people would know it, other people will not know it. So there is cure for everything. And the Prophet ﷺ came with the Shara, with Islam, which has the full protection for us from everything, and the full guidance for us. So if people adhere to the Shara, then there is no influence. Maybe Allahu A'lam, I believe, in fact, that one of the wisdoms behind the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was subjected to magic is to show us that even in such a case, there is a cure, and the cure was taught in the Sunnah, which is reading the Isma' with it. So the Prophet ﷺ did not neglect anything, but he taught us. Allah Azza wa Jalla did not forget to send, to reveal anything of benefit for us, but he revealed it to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to protect ourselves from the jinn and from shaitan, we know we have the full knowledge for this. And to cure ourselves from the jinn, from the shaitan, or from any other illness, we have most of the knowledge for this. And the remaining part of the knowledge is covered by the actual, you know, medicine, by the physical physicians themselves, which is also part of the knowledge that Allah sent to people. So the protection for us from any of these from any harm is in various things that are taught in the Sunnah. For example, the Prophet ﷺ said that the shaitan does not enter a house where Surah Al-Baqarah is read in it. The shaitan cannot enter, the devil, jinn cannot enter a house where Surah Al-Baqarah is being read. They cannot enter it. They are not allowed to enter such a house. So that is, if a person reads Surah Al-Baqarah, it doesn't mean he has to read every day, but it's the habit to read Surah Al-Baqarah, then this is a place where the devils cannot enter. The Prophet ﷺ says, the one who reads Ayat Al-Kursi, which is a very short ayah, before going to sleep, Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm, until the end of it. And of course, you know, reading, it is important to realize that reading is means reading and understanding. Because it has very important meanings in it. When you say, Allahu la ilaha illa al-hayy al-qayyum, Allah, there is no deity, no true deity except Him. No one worthy of being worshipped except Him. Al-hayy, He is the all-living. Qayyum, He is the one who is... You know, there was the explanation, detailed explanation of Surah Al-Kursi by Brother Kamil a few weeks ago. The Qayyum, who is all ever watchful over his creatures. So when a person envisions this, then Allah is watching over me. No one can approach me. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Nothing can... He is not overtaken by... Or he is not approached by sinna, by... sinna means... what?
Slumber.
Or sleep. So he is always watchful, aware what's happening. And so on to the rest of the ayah. When a person reads it with understanding and belief, what can come to him? Nothing. And the Prophet ﷺ says that whoever reads it, then there will always be a hafiz on him. لَمْ يَزَلْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَافِظ. There will be a protection on him from Allah Azza wa Jal. So nothing will approach him from the jinn or anything else. And the same when he reads it in the morning, there will be protection for him for the rest of the day. Yeah, which seems to be what it means, Hafiz. And the Prophet ﷺ says, the one who reads Mu'awwidhat, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, these three surahs, three times, once in the evening, then no shaitan will approach him until the morning. And if he reads in the morning, no shaitan will approach him to the evening. And he says, the one who says, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير, 10 times after Maghrib, and similarly 10 times after Fajr, who says it after Maghrib prayer 10 times, then the Prophet ﷺ says, رفعه الله بها 10 درجات.
ووضع عنه عشر وكتب له بها عشر حسنات ووضع عنه عشر سيئات ورفعه عشر درجات. He records for him 10 good deeds. He removes from his record 10 sins or bad deeds. He raises him 10 ranks. And it would be for him like freeing 10 slaves. وكانت له حرزا من النار ومن الشيطان حتى يصبح. And it would be a protection for him from the fire and from the shaitan until the morning. Who says in the evening. And similarly, who says in the morning until the evening. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك والحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. There is the Sunnah reading the last خواتم سورة البقرة, the last two آيات. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربي والمؤمنون. And the ayah after it, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. But I don't remember whether this has to do. Yeah, exactly. جزاك الله خيرا. Whoever reads these two ayat in his night, في ليلة كفتة, which means they are sufficient protection for him, the one who reads them at night. لا, ليس عن قيام الليل. كفتة means they are sufficient protection for him. Allahu a'lam. And so on. So there are many things in the Shara which tell us how to protect ourselves from the shaitan. Any person who reads these things, there is no way for the shaitan to approach him. And there are other things. So as I said, the subject is wide. We need to stop soon. So inshallah, I'll answer it. But I gave the idea of what I'm going to talk about in the next meeting, inshallah, which will probably be next Sunday, inshallah. So we'll bring what are the protections and what are the cures, not only of this, but of any illness, inshallah. And see what people usually do in their misconception about dealing with these matters or with matter of illness in their weakness and their weakness of tawakkul, of reliance on Allah Azza wa Jal. So inshallah this will be discussed next week. Yeah.
There is an athar of Umar radiallahu anhu that he was giving a khutbah and then somehow he perceived, I don't know whether he saw it or what, but he saw the army that was about to be ambushed. The Muslim army was about to be ambushed in Iran or in the Fars, against the Fars. I don't know whether it was in Iran.
That's true.
Okay. And he said to the leader of that army, Al-Jabal, Al-Jabal, the mountain.
Yes, Sariyat Al-Jabal.
Yeah, letting him know that, and this man heard it. What is related about how this happened? Is there anything to report?
Yeah.
That's what I'm...
Yeah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِن يَكُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي مُحَدَّثُونَ فَهُوَ عُمَرُ, or something like that. Which means if there had been any people who are inspired by my ummah, that would be Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar was of the people who were close to being revealed to, because of how, and we know of many occasions where he said things, as he said in the hadith himself. He said that my Lord has confirmed what I said in several occasions, and he's mentioned some of them in the Quran, where he said something and the Prophet ﷺ decided to do something different based on his opinion and the advice of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. But later on, Umar, the Quran was revealed to support Umar's view in that matter. Like for example, when Allah says, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ, or مَا كَانِ النَّبِيٍ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُثْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, or what? The beating of women? Yeah, that's the one I just mentioned. Well, there are several occasions. So Umar radiallahu anhu was being inspired in a certain way by Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is something that we believe in, that Allah Azza wa Jal gives his believing servants some forms of inspiration or knowledge or karama, something that he blesses with, which is like a miraculous act that he doesn't give to other people.
I thought,
and this is one of them.
When it comes to those type of things, I thought it was just that the mind of Umar regarding the fiqh and things, what to do Islamically, you know, was so in tune that by Allah's mercy, you know, he turned out to be correct in some of his decisions. But this was something that, you know, for me was totally different, and it implies telepathy, okay, or ESP or whatever. And at the same time, and we know that from the narrations, or from what is understood from Ibn Taymiyyah, you know, rahmatullah alayh, I don't remember whether he related it as hadith or not, but that, for example, the fortune teller, okay, person comes to the psychic or fortune teller, and the kareen of this psychic communicates with the kareen of that individual and tells the fortune teller things that only that individual knows, because the kareen is always with him, the companion jinn is always with him, and therefore the fortune teller says, well, look, I see that you're really in love with this blonde headed woman, for example. I don't know if she's, you know, different nonsense like this, and this brings the person to believe the fortune teller, and then naturally the fortune teller can tell them a bunch of lies about their future, but they'll hit on some truths, and always what happens is that the person that goes to the fortune teller, he never remembers the 100 lies, he always remembers the one or two truths.
Yeah.
So, dealing with that, and then at the same time, this incident with Umar radiallahu anhu,
right.
I was curious if there's some type of, if there is a capacity for humans, maybe the salihin, the very righteous, that Allah does allow them to see things as Umar radiallahu anhu did, or whether some other agency might have been helpful in this, I don't know.
Okay. Well, the two things are not related. I don't know why we brought them together, because we have already talked about the fortune teller or the magician or whatever, and their relationship with the jinn, so that they can tell them things which are even about ghaib, about things which have not happened, or about ghaib in the sense that it's something which is not possible for normal people to know, about the distant past or the or something which is very far away taking place, or things like that, or as in this example, about the life, the personal life of the other person, so they can give them all sorts of powers or teach them different things, which is something that, you know, is true. I mean, they have this power. And this is this has a proof from the Sunnah, as we said.
No.
But in the case of Umar radiallahu anhu, it is quite different. Umar, Umar was, we cannot say first that he was so much in tune with Islam and so on that that Allah Azza wa Jal gave him the knowledge, or he was able to grasp what he was supposed to do in such situations, because that means he was probably in such situations more in tune than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is not true, but it is true that Allah blesses him with some knowledge, with some karamat, on some time, so that he hits the truth.
I thought when it comes to that, it was just a matter of, is it wrong to say that one Sahabi in some areas of Islamic fiqh, you know, thinking the Muslim way, might
have given him a better fiqh than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is definitely wrong.
If it's the case of two men, not the wahi.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
In other words,
Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a man, may think, okay, we should do it this way.
But we still believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad, was the best, even in his encompassing knowledge of Islam, and therefore in his ability to make judgments. But in these particular situations, Allah Azza wa Jal favored Umar with the ability to grasp the correct judgment in the Allahu Alam. But anyways, what I wanted to say is that there is the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes how a person would become a wali of Allah, a close friend and ally of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he says that is by doing first the required things in Islam, and then by doing more of the optional good deeds, until he becomes Allah becomes like his sam'ahu alladhi yasma'u bihi, wa basarahu alladhi yubsiru bihi, wa yadahu alladhi yabtishu bihi. Allah will be his own sight with which he sees, his own hand with which he holds things, his ear with which he hears, and so on. So and his foot with which he walks. So Allah will be in complete help to this person. This is the walaya, the true walaya, which is based on the true practice of Islam, of the Quran and Sunnah. This is something which is definitely true. But in addition to this, so that is probably what Umar radiallahu anhu was like, was of the awliya of Allah, in the sense that Allah guides him in general in everything that he does to the best judgment. But in addition to this, Allah Azza wa Jal gives, and this is of the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, gives what is called karama, what is called an honoring miracle to some of his servants other than the messengers. And these are not called mu'ajiza like the ones for the messenger. They are called karama. And these karamat are not something that they can control. They say, okay, now let's do something and expect the karama from Allah. It is not something under their control. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He sees that the person is fit for the karama, He bestows it on him, and the person usually would not brag, and would not, in fact, brag about it if he really deserved it, like what some people would do. Like the case of Maryam radiallahu anha, when Allah Azza wa Jal would give her the food which was uncommon even to the people of her land. And Zakariya would ask her, where do you get this food from? And she would say, "Huwa min indillah." It is from Allah. So this is a karama that Allah bestows on his servants, even if they were not messengers. And this is something that Allah blessed Umar with at certain point. And he was giving his khutbah, and in the middle of his talk, he stopped and he said, "O Sariya, beware the mountain," which means the enemy is waiting for you behind the mountain or something like that. And then he continued his talk.
Even though he had the right decision or the right conclusion, what should take place, the shura of the Muslim body decided what should be done. It was a teaching in a way, how to govern, how to run.
Yeah.
In my opinion, this is...
Yeah, but in those particular incidents, there was no shura in that sense. I mean, he took the shura, the Prophet ﷺ took the shura of a few people, and then he made a decision. But yeah, the shura is very important. To discuss the shura, we would bring more appropriately the incident of the Battle of Uhud, when the Prophet ﷺ preferred to stay in the Medina, and some people wanted to go out and so on. But that's a different subject. But yeah, I would classify the incident of Umar radiallahu anhu as a karama, as an honoring miracle that Allah gives to His awliya, and they would not brag about it, and they cannot expect it, and they cannot repeat it at their will, but it is with the control and command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it is normal to them. Sometimes the karama is normal to the close allies of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Like in case of Maryam, she didn't even, you know, consider this something strange until Zakariya asked her, "Where do you get this food from?" She said, "This is from Allah." Isn't that something normal to get?
About the dreams, in fact, about what happened with Omar. He just saw a dream and he just couldn't explain it. And he has to go to that woman and ask her about his dream, and she tells him he has to get some from the news. He's going to stab him and stuff like that, and exactly that would happen. But he went to her and he was asking her about what he saw in his dream. Now, let's hear the question, the dreams, basically. Is it kind of a... Because they have to tell, I know, in Serene, they have a full book, but most of it sometimes relates to the Sunnah, most of some of it relates to the Quran.
No.
And it's just sometimes that they predict them. Is that, can we say...
Okay.
Such a
Okay, we discussed this subject a while ago about dreams, and at that time I commented that the book which is related to Ibn Sirin is mostly baseless. It's not Ibn Sirin. Ibn Sirin was one of the ulama of the Sahaba, of the Tabi'in. He was one of the most knowledgeable of the Tabi'in. And much of the stuff, including that book, is not said by him. There is no evidence, no proof, no isnad that he said it. And some of it is contradictory to Islam in those dreams. So there is no basis for this in general. Even though the dreams are true, of course, and we know from the Quran, in the case of the king of Egypt, who asked with Yusuf alayhi salam, that, and the other two people with Yusuf, that dreams are true. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted the dreams of some people himself. And he used to ask the Sahaba what dreams they have seen tonight, and then he would tell them what he saw, and he would interpret some dreams to them. So the dreams are true. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no more prophethood after me except the truthful vision of the believer. رؤيا المؤمن الصالحة. That is صادقة. That's the only remaining traces of prophethood after him, صلى الله عليه وسلم. So dreams are true, or visions, رؤى. But as for the case of Omar, what you are saying, I doubt this story. But we can review it, inshallah, and ask about it with the woman that she told him about this future. Even though, I mean, it is not something impossible, I mean, because, you know, you could see a dream and somebody who knows better than you in the Sunnah, in the collective knowledge of Islam and Sunnah, based on that, he can make a judgment and tell you what this dream means. But I would doubt that Omar would go to a woman and ask her when he was the most knowledgeable person in his time in the Sunnah. He would probably go to some people who are close to him in level. He would go probably to Ali, to Uthman, to Abu Ubaidah, to some other Sahabi to ask him. Abu Ubaidah was dead before him, but some other of the Sahaba. Where would we go? That's now you took us to the subject of dreams, but okay, this is let's answer this and end it, inshallah. The subject of dreams, the Prophet ﷺ said that if you see a bad dream, do not tell anybody about it. And usually a bad dream, you feel it in yourself, that you were influenced, you hated it and so on. So do not tell anybody and say, أعوذ بالله من شرها, I seek refuge in Allah from the evil in this dream. It will never harm you. But, Yeah, that's what is it? What does it have to do with this? No, sorry. On the other hand, for the good, the dream that you feel, it seems to be good. Then this, as the ulama say, tell it to those that you. That you love or like. I think there's a hadith in that, in fact. He says, tell it to the one that you love or you like or something like that. And the ulama say, tell it to a person who has knowledge, who has fiqh. Because, you know, if you, as the Prophet ﷺ says, الرؤيا على جناح طائر فإذا فسرت وقعت, which means the vision is on the wing, standing on the wing of a bird. So if it is interpreted, it will fall. Which means it will happen the way it was interpreted. So it could be that a person, you know, you will go to an ignorant person and he will say, I saw in my dream that I was riding a horse, for example. And he will say, oh, that's probably the horse of death that you'll be carried on. Or that you'll be, he will give him an interpretation which is, you know, maybe he will go to a knowledgeable person and a person of fiqh, and he will give him a good interpretation for him. He'll say, a horse is a show of power and dignity, so inshallah Allah will give you dignity or something like that. But the other person could interpret it in a very bad way, and it will happen that way. So that's why a person would go to a person of knowledge and understanding and fiqh and taqwa and ask him this.
Where would he go? let's say we have oh yeah, and sometimes wearing it only chills your chest because it feels good and it makes you feel good, but you want to know what it means. So where would you go?
I already answered, I think, this question. Allah.
A person of knowledge.
Who is
so, well, it's
he can't.
Who has knowledge? Would you be able to guide us to what?
If you think I have knowledge,
we came to you to ask you.
I'm not a dream interpreter.
No, I mean, would you
but
to know somebody that we could call or ask? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can tell you of some people that are. That I consider people of knowledge and taqwa and so on. Allahu alam, you can call them and ask them, but always, you know, you have to seek the people that you feel are respectful, trustworthy people that can give you good advice in your dream, and try the best in that regard, and inshallah they will help. Did you want to ask them? Okay, so inshallah let's end it here. It's almost an hour and a half now.
Almost 2 hours.
The magician? No.
The one who goes to the fortune teller?
Well, it varies. If he believes in what he tells him ignorantly, like many people in our time do, then their action can be considered as kufr amali. It wouldn't be a kufr which caused them to be out of Islam. Like, you know, some people who go and offer some offerings to the dead people and then ask them for some help. We would say that this is kufr mukhrij min al-millah normally. That this is a kufr which caused a person to go out of Islam. But because of the spread of ignorance in our time, we cannot pass such a general judgment. Because many of these people are so ignorant, they don't even know what they are doing. They see their neighbors, their friends, everybody going there, and they go and they think that this is, without even thinking about it. And if you discuss it with them and teach them and say, why are you doing this? Don't you know that Allah is the one who is Razzaq? They say, yes. Do you know that Allah said so and so, the Prophet ﷺ said so and so about these things? They say, yes. So why do you do it? They say, I don't know. We saw our neighbors do it. We saw it. And I have, you know, had certain, you know, personal contacts with people like this. Relatives.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you cannot make a general judgment that these are kuffar, even though their action is definitely an action of kufr. But we cannot say that this action caused them to leave Islam. Similarly for going to this arraf in our time. Many people do it. Most people maybe. In our countries, we cannot make a judgment that they are definitely kufar, even though this action of theirs is an action of kufar.
Who do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees in your heart that you really try and you really want to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you to know.
No. Allah is the one.
How about the horoscope? No, on the paper.
We already talked about it earlier.
No,
astrology. Where you?
Is it shirk or is it science?
It is the same. No, it's not science. It is. You shouldn't believe in it. Yeah, definitely. You shouldn't. You should never believe in it. You shouldn't even read it. I mean, because it is a futile thing to read, to waste your time in it. But if you read it, this is not kufr, I mean, this probably is sinful. I mean, unless you read it to just, you know, show some people, look what crazy people believe in this. But to believe in it is shirk. Yeah.
I've heard a hadith before about this. I'm not saying that you go to a soothsayer, and he tells you what to do, just to go, not even believe what he says, just go to the prayer, prayers will not be to 40 days. And if you believe in it, then you're
added.
Could be. I don't remember. I remember both things, but I don't know if they are both authentic.
No,
okay, let's stop here, inshallah. We'll discuss this more, inshallah. Subhanakallah, bihamdika, inshallah.